Baseball takes the GPAC crown with a late season push. Softball heads into GPAC tournament, and track impresses in their showdown with Doan. We'll break it all down for you today on the 14th episode of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Obrick. Kai, how you doing?
Doing well, Cohen. Glad to be here. Got one final left, so kind of ready to get summer started. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so final episode on finals week. Probably not going to get much action over the summer. Obviously, we're heading home, and you know what that means. It's just going to be a crazy long episode when we get back in August.
Oh, yeah.
Got to catch up because we've got a lot. There's going to be a lot happening over the summer. So if you're hurting for Concordia news, be sure to check the website. J.K. Abel writes great articles, puts them up there, and he's going to keep you all posted. But there will be a lot going on this summer. We'll get into some of that, some of the softball, some of the baseball, some of the track. But, you know, talking about softball, there's some of the people that are going to get action in the coming week along with baseball. What are they doing in the GPAC tournament, right?
Yes, so they're entering GPAC play today. So we're recording this at about 10 o'clock on Wednesday. Give it about 3 hours, and they'll be having the first pitch in their first round against Morningside. But looking back a little bit, you know, last week we covered about 12 games from them.
Yeah.
A little more chill this time. Yeah. Only 2 games since our last episode. So they ended up splitting a series in or against Dort in Sioux City. So last regular season games, they won the first one 2-0 and then got a 3-2 loss. So pitching staff, pretty good day from them. Megan Urich got the win as the pitcher in the first game. And yeah, we're entering the tournament play as the 4 seed. It's a double elimination pod play. So yeah, got to lose twice to get out.
Okay.
Kind of like our chances.
Is it 4 teams total in the tournament, I'm assuming? Or is the pods play up against each other? How does that work?
I'm assuming my guess would be it's pods, and then like the winners of those move on against each other.
Okay. And who's got where they at?
It is, all the games are going to be in Sioux City. So they're
okay.
Yeah, so our girls are back in Sioux City for the second week in a row. They just got back from playing Dort.
Yeah.
And now they're back up there again.
Okay, so they're getting into conference play. Baseball's getting into conference play. We'll get into them a little later. Tennis, both men's and women, they finished the season, right?
Yes, so both men's and women's tennis are done for the year. So we'll start it off with the men's play. They got their first round of GPAC against Doan. Unfortunately, they took a 4-0 loss. And I know usually we're talking about games that go to 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get your one doubles point, and then you get your 6 singles. But in the tournament play, once a team gets to 4, they're kind of just stopping everything else because there's lots of games being played. So we lost a really tight doubles point. Mitch Crum and Grady Works won their match. And then Hugo Fuentes and Santiago Abadia, they actually lost in an extra set. And then we lost the first 3 singles matches. So the other 3 were going. We actually had some. We were close to winning a couple of them, but they got called off because we had already lost the overall. So that ended the men's season. They finished 8-13 overall and 2-4 in the GPAC. Moving on to the women's side, they also competed in the GPAC tournament. They got the win in their quarterfinal match against Northwestern. They won by a score of 4-1. They completely swept the doubles competition. And then Shakira Derman, Mariana Milano, and Alexa Richard all won their matches, so that meant we could stop. We had a couple other girls about to win their matches too. Then, unfortunately, we fell to Midland by a score of 4-2. So we actually won the doubles point in this one, 2-1. And then Milano won her singles match, but unfortunately, the other girls couldn't win theirs. The women, they finished the season 11-8 overall, 5-2 in the GPAC, so pretty decent record. A pretty exciting thing, though, about the team, there's only one junior on the GPAC roster. So of the 6 girls who competed at the tournament, only one of them is a junior, and the rest are freshmen and sophomores.
So, yeah, they're pretty young. I think we've been saying this for a lot of teams.
Definitely.
Around Concordia.
It's been
got a
theme.
Lot of youth.
Yeah. Lots of youth, so not losing anyone, maybe transfers or something, but if everyone sticks around, everyone will still be here next year.
Yeah, so, that's very rare to have a whole team year after year.
Yeah, for sure. And they already looked good, you know, winning record this year. Very good GPAC record.
They finished strong, too.
Yeah, finished very strong.
The women, because we were talking kind of in the same light, men's and women's, to start the season.
Yep.
Just, we kept saying, you know, get a few GPAC wins. Looks like they pieced a few together there at the end of the year.
Yeah, definitely. Came up big against Northwestern. You know, it's always hard to play a team twice.
Yeah.
They beat Northwestern a few weeks ago, came back, did it again. fortunately fell to a good Midland side who are a top GPAC side.
Yep.
So looking forward to seeing them next year.
Also looking forward to see what track and field can do. They didn't get as much action as they got in our last episode where they had medals galore, but they still had two meets, right?
Yes. So Drake Relays, any track aficionados out there know that that is a pretty big event. It's a three-day meet, so that's a pretty big one compared to the ones we're used to. And then they also went to Doan for an invite. It was a bit interesting. It was just us versus Doan.
Okay.
So lots of podium finishes for us. Yeah. We'll get into that after Drake. So like I said, three-day meet at Drake University. A couple highlights from that. The women's 4x200-meter relay set a new school record with a 140.76, and that was compiled of Jenna Esch, Kayla Kirchner, Jordan Kopke, and Adriana Rodenkall. They also placed fourth in the women's 4x4 out of about 25 teams. And like, these aren't just NAIA teams. These are D1, D2, D3, yeah. NAIA, you know, big meet, lots of good teams. University of Kentucky's there, Drake's there.
Yeah, well.
Big schools.
So it's like our powerlifting from our last episode. Pretty much. They're competing just against the best of the best.
Yeah, a couple of our relays beat the likes of Drake, Marquette, you know, bigger schools like that. But the 4x4, like I said, placed fourth. A 3:48.16. It was pretty much the same lineup as the 4x2. It was Esch, Kirchner, Kopke, and then they added in Trinity Tools for the 400. Then moving on to the Doan meet, some of it was cut a bit short due to lightning, so some of our throwers only got maybe one or two attempts instead of the full three. Like I said, just us against Doan, so we'll start going through some of these results. We'll start with the women's side. Freshman Cambria Sanders ended up getting first in the women's 100, and Emily Losecki got second, 200 meter. We had Kiki Nionic with a PR getting first in the 200, and then Losek once again getting second. In the 400 meter, we had Isabella Salters getting first with a PR, and then we took 2 and 3 as well with Lainey Wirtz and Brianna Quinn. The 100 meter hurdles, we had Kayla Svoboda getting a PR and taking first place in that, and then Amy Richard taking second. In the 400 meter hurdles, we had Grace Reamer taking first place with a season best. In the shot put, we had Cameron Picorni getting first in that event, and then Marissa Haynes getting a PR and third place. In the discus, we had Emma Lloyd getting a season best and taking first place, and then Kaylee Brocious and Aaliyah Sin getting 2 and 3 both with PRs. In the javelin, we had Gretchen Stottlemyre take first, and in the high jump, we had Addie Reamer get a PR and a first place finish. Pole vault, we had Amira Cummings getting a season best and a first place finish. Long jump was Kiki Nionic with a first place, and then Haley Miles coming in second there. Triple jump, Miles once again, she took second. And then in the hammer throw, Picorni took first place. So that's all for the women's side.
So do they do the heptathlon? Is that at every meet? Was that at the Doan meet, or do they just do those at exclusive meets?
It doesn't look like they had a heptathlon at this one.
Okay.
So yeah.
Because I saw that at the last one where they do like different heats of these different events, and then they add their point totals together.
Right.
And man, the women are really good at everything, mm-hmm. but we dominated that heptathlon because we've got so many good athletes across the board that, you're reading off a lot of their names. They go long jump, and then they go hurdles, they go like relay, mm-hmm. and then they could still throw a discus, which is insane.
Gotta be a complete all-around athlete for that.
Yeah.
Just be good at one thing.
Yeah, no, that, well, almost making me want to go to a track meet.
Yeah, you know? It's pretty fun.
Which is how good we are, and if you know anything about track meets, that's a time investment right there.
Definitely. I was at one for about 6 hours yesterday.
Yeah. 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 You gotta schedule those.
100%. I had a little free day for my final.
Yeah. But talking about good at one thing, the men's baseball team is good at one thing, and that's hitting home runs. So just like softball, we didn't have that many games since our last episode, but we won all of them. So we had a series against Dakota Wesleyan and a series against Mount Marty. Doesn't really do anything for us rankings-wise. The next ranking doesn't come out until, I believe, May 8th. So we're still sitting at 19. Although, if they were to come out at the end of the season, we definitely would have jumped up given recent events. But first, we'll break down the Dakota Wesleyan series. Usually, whenever we're breaking down baseball series, we're reading a lot of names at a lot of RBIs and a lot of home runs. Not today. It was kind of a pitcher's duel. We had a we won game one 3-1, then we won game two 2-1. So it was nice to see our offense just do the bare minimum to get the win, and our pitching staff really turned out the lights. Game one, it was Braxton Greenberg who got the start. He went 4 1/3 inning pitched, gave up 6 hits, but only gave up 1 earned run, 4 strikeouts, and then Jacob Lycan goes the rest of the way, goes 2 2/3, 2 hits, no earned runs. He walked a batter and he struck out 5. So huge performance there from our pitching staff. And then we've got a common usual suspect in game two. Christian Gutierrez has been the workhorse for this team. It seems like he's having like sneakily one of the best seasons on this squad, but he kind of gets overshadowed by, you know, all the records that are breaking and the huge stats.
It's easy to see all the home runs and forget that our pitchers are pretty good too.
Our pitchers are really good. Christian Gutierrez has put together a great season. So he gets the win today, not today, in this DAC West series in game two. Goes 7-3 on the year to finish out his line. Goes 7 2/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, just 1 earned run. He only walked 1 and he struck out 6. So, I mean, just great performance. He's been doing that all season. Whenever you need a length out of your starter, it seems like Christian Gutierrez has been the man for us all season.
For sure.
Now, Mount Marty, you kind of flipped the script there. It was very offensive. But the pitching staff still did pretty good. Game 1, you end up winning 12-3. And then game 2, you end up winning 13-4. So this was an offensive explosion. It was kind of a funny storyline going into this one. So with all the hype that Joey Gabranski has been getting on Twitter and nationally and everything like that, you would think that he was leading the team in home runs. He's not leading the team in home runs. It's Jaden Quinn. Jaden Quinn, who, by the way, has 3 GPAC Player of the Weeks, which is insane because, you know, you think baseball is like a super long season. In college, it's not that long because they play so many games.
There's a lot of teams.
Yeah, so there's a lot of games, but there's not a lot of weeks
right
to win GPAC Player of the Week, and he's got 3 of them. Gabranski got 2 of them. So Jaden Quinn, I believe it was coming into the game, they were sitting at like 21 home runs. Jaden Quinn was with his team-leading home run record, and then Gabranski hits 2. So he ties them and then breaks them. So he's probably feeling really good. He has the NAIA career home run record. Now he's got the arguably far more important team home run lead over Jaden Quinn. And so a huge 2 home run game. He pads his lead for the NAIA career home run record. And then in game 2, Jaden Quinn hits 3. takes it right back from him. Great offensive series all around. Obviously, you love to see the stats, you love to see the numbers, but what's really important about these two series is you got 4 wins. The same cannot be said for Doan. The series against Mount Marty was Sunday, April 28th. Meanwhile, Doan was playing a series versus Morningside. They had just beaten Morningside in a doubleheader on Saturday, 4-3 and 12-5. And this is important because at the time, Doan was number 1 in the GPAC.
Yeah, ahead of us by 2 wins.
By 2 wins. What happened Sunday? They play Morningside 2 times. They have a doubleheader. And they lose in very hotly contested fashion. Game 1, 8-6 loss. Game 2, 7-6 loss.
Wow.
With that right there, and again, this is end of the season, so, you know, blow the whistle, you know, stop the count. We've got 28 conference game played. Doan had 28 conference game played. We were 21-7 overall. Ideally, how they sort the conferences, they would want to go by conference wins.
Right.
So sometimes you'll see crazy stat lines where a team has almost a losing record overall, but they lead the conference in their conference win-loss. So they'll get first in the conference.
Right.
Here, same win loss, same win percentage. So you go to overall games played. This is where it gets interesting. We were talking about this before the podcast. We are 37-12 overall. Doan is 35-11 overall. So we have more wins. Doan, actually, if you're a math person, has a better win percentage.
Yeah, by about 6/100ths.
So, yeah, 76.1% of the time is their percentage, and we are 75.5% of the time. So we are going off the assumption that the tiebreaker's got to be the amount of wins, which kind of sucks if you're Doan, because you're looking at this and you're mad because you're not going to get home field advantage for the tournament.
Right.
we played 49 games and they played 46.
Mm-hmm.
So that is tough luck for the Doan Tigers.
A little
there.
Bit, yeah.
But we're not mad at it.
We won't complain. We'll take it.
We're not complaining. Just making observations is what we're doing here.
Yeah.
So that nets Concordia the GPAC regular season championship, and perhaps more importantly than the glitz and the glamour and getting to post about it on Twitter, we get home seed for the GPAC tournament. So same as baseball's, it's a group of four type deal. It's going to be from May 12th to May 4th, and it is all going to be at Plum Creek Park in Seward, Nebraska. Obviously, a lot of the students are trying to get home as soon as possible, but if you're not, if you're a Seward resident, if you're staying for the summer, we have playoff NAIA baseball right in our backyard. We're going to be playing not in game one. Our game one is going to be versus Mount Marty, but it's going to be the second game. The first pitch is going to be Thursday, May 2nd at 2 p.m. We're going to be playing the 8 seed versus Mount Marty.
And so you're saying every GPAC tournament game will be here?
Yep.
So all the teams are coming here.
The tournament, because so with baseball, a lot of it is like scheduling, and teams can get in a rut by how many games they've played back to back to back, and then like how rested their pitchers are.
Right.
So that plays a big part in baseball. So I think what NAIA is trying to do here by just having it in one place and eliminating travel altogether, mm-hmm. is just, it's going to be my best versus your best. No rest days. Let's see what you got.
Yeah.
So like I said, game two is going to be Concordia versus Mount Marty, and we just killed Mount Marty. If we win game two, game three will be Friday, and we will play the winner of game one. And the winner of game one, so if this is all very, very confusing, for me at least, I'm not good at this. Concordia versus Mount Marty. That winner plays the winner of Briarcliff and Midland, and then it keeps going on from there. But then it gets even more confusing, and I'm gonna get a headache. So all you need to know is we're set up in a pretty good position to not only win the regular season championship, but we can get the tournament championship, and then you can start looking forward to NAIA Nationals. And it's going to be exciting. Again, it's just a shame this takes place over the summer when, you know, everyone's home. But got a great, great website with all the articles detailing what's going on. And you can stream it. You stream it online, like you can stream all the games. So be sure, even if you're at home, be sure to just stay tuned and be with the Concordia Baseball Bulldogs.
Yeah, get on Twitter a little bit. Keep updated. You'll have lots of home runs, I'm guessing.
You can talk a little trash on Twitter. You can keep it civil, but you know, let them know you're a fiery fan.
Yeah.
You know,
let them know you're a Bulldog.
let them know you're a Bulldog. But again, this, if you're looking at this in totality with all the sports in mind, this just adds what a great year. You know, for our final podcast, we can get a little sentimental. What a great year for Bulldog 100%. Athletics. So you go through and you look at all the sports. Football, I think they finished tied for fourth, so they were decent. Baseball, obviously, you got a winner. Women's basketball, you got a winner. Men's basketball, you got a winner. Volleyball, disappointing end to the season, but
they're really good.
You got a winner.
Most of it, yeah.
You got a winner. Soccer, it was, again, not exactly how you wanted to end the season. I don't know. You got a winner with soccer.
Definitely.
Very good. Women's soccer.
Yep, women's soccer had a good run.
Really good. And then you've got the sports that are playing right now. Obviously, indoor track and field.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Outdoor track and field, arguably even better. We're setting a few school records.
Yep.
Softball's doing good. They're in the tournament. Tennis, obviously, you've got some things to build on. You've got youth all across that roster. What a great year for Concordia Athletics.
100%. I mean, you've got some national championships. We didn't go over the men's track and field at the Doan Invite.
Okay.
But just want to shout out Zach Zoner once again. I mean, winning every...
It goes without saying.
Yeah. One of the highlights from this. He got a national championship. He's sitting first place in the NAIA right now for his PR. So got a lot of other PRs from the guys at Doan. I'm sure they're looking forward to setting a few more, getting some more.
Yeah, for sure.
Qualifying and at the GPAC conference meet. But yeah, like you're saying, just a great season from all Concordia sports. Even we look at powerlifting. Last week we took a look at that. Setting a collegiate record for all division.
Casually.
Yeah, I mean,
as one does.
I'm sure some of you didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
And yet we're just doing great things, even though you might not even see it.
Bulldogs across the nation are smiling because of how good we're doing.
Oh, yes.
And their big wrinkled faces.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be all. 14 episodes. That's going to be our final total for the year, and that's all for our 14th episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for a weekly podcast on the CUNY Sower website and Spotify. Obviously, nothing over the summer, but once we get back, we're going to get back at it with the updates. In the meantime, from Colin Carpenter and Kyle Brick and everyone at the Sower Newspaper, have a great summer and go Dogs!